A sermon for the second Sunday in Advent, December the 7th, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Stir up in our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is our text. And now a sermon entitled, Hope Springs Eternal. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the world fell into sin, all things went to hell. Good order became chaos. This is seen in the creation, where it became a dog-eat-dog world, so to speak, survival of the fittest. The climate became harsh, too hot in the middle and too cold at the poles. Many creatures went extinct. It's as though the world is spinning out of control, eventually on its way to oblivion. Humankind, the pinnacle of God's creation, may have endured the most damage. You soon see it in Adam and Eve, as Adam blames Eve for his sin, and Eve blames the serpent for hers. They turn in on themselves, as evidenced by their sudden need to hide themselves behind fig leaves. The curse is pronounced that after their lives of pain and turmoil, they were to return to the ground from which they were taken, dust to dust and ashes to ashes. Scripture makes it clear that there is no glimmer of hope in any of this. It's final and complete. It's dead and gone. The sinful deed was done, and the consequence is death for the animals, the world, and for mankind. The image used in our text today is that of a great tree that has been felled. Though it had once been magnificent and glorious, rot and disease had gotten into it, causing it to die and fall over. Decomposition is in progress. But surely we have not gathered here on the second Sunday in Advent because all is hopeless. Indeed, we have not. This season is all about hope. There is good news of hope, and our text today conveys this to us in some very picturesque ways. The prophet Isaiah states, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." Though there is no life left in what still protrudes from the great fallen tree, God graciously brings forth life from it, Miraculously, a shoot comes from the stump. It's spoken of as the stump of Jesse. Jesse was an Israelite from long ago who sired King David. The prediction is that new life would come from Jesse's lineage. This shoot would grow branches, and these branches would bear fruit. Though in Isaiah's time they didn't know who was being spoken of, we in our time do, for the time arrived when the scripture was fulfilled. 7 centuries later, a holy child was born to a young couple, Mary and Joseph, both of whom could trace their lineage back to King David and Jesse. Yet his connection through blood would only be through Mary, for though this child is fully human, he is at the same time true God, having been conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. He was given the name Jesus, who concealed who he is, though he no doubt was a remarkable child and man. And then, at about age 30, Jesus began to reveal to the world who he is. It all started at his baptism by John in the Jordan River. The scriptures report that when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Clearly, Jesus is the one prophesied by Isaiah. For our text would say about the shoot from the stump of Jesse, that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus' ministry bore this out. He truly was wise and understanding, impressing all with his teachings concerning God's kingdom. He displayed his might, calming storms, healing the sick and infirm, even raising some who had died. Jesus did all that the Father desired him to do. And this includes something that is wonderful and amazing for us. As a man, he pleaded, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, he added, "Not as I will, but as you will." And it was the Father's will that Jesus, his only begotten Son, should absorb unto himself the sentence of death issued on the creation and mankind at the fall into sin. Our Isaiah text points out that his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Jesus loved both his Father and us, that he willingly submitted to the shame and abuse of Calvary's cross. Jesus, in love for us and desiring our restoration, shed his holy and righteous blood as an offering for sin. He died, abandoned by the world and for a time forsaken by the Father. And though they entombed Jesus, he did not stay dead for long. He rose from the dead on the third day, coming forth from his burial cloth and tomb, healed and restored. He had successfully accomplished the world's salvation. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Yet before leaving, he commissioned his followers, saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now all who believe in him, with sins washed away in holy baptism, receive the Spirit of the Lord on them. They have their sins forgiven, and with that the promise of new life now and everlasting life after they die. Thanks to the shoot that has come forth from the stump of Jesse, and the branches that have grown, and the fruit that has been borne, there is so much more to happen. You see, Jesus shall return. As we confess in the Creed, he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. When Jesus comes again, the dead shall be raised, and according to 2 Corinthians 5, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. How will that go? Will our judge be fair? Well, here we can return to our text from Isaiah, which goes on to speak of that time and the shoot of the stump of Jesse. It says that he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. His eyes won't see our sin, his ears won't listen to accusations against us. Those who meekly confess that they are poor sinners, and who have trusted in him as their Savior, will be declared righteous in his sight. Tragically, it will not go so well for those who didn't know him as Savior, for a severe punishment will be made. It says, "And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." Having rejected the salvation of the one who came with righteousness as the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins, they shall be cast from his sight. However, the righteous shall be restored to a new heaven and a new earth. Truly all shall be made new again. This includes the creation, and that specifically includes the animals. Instead of it being a dog-eat-dog world with survival of the fittest, this is how we are told it will then be. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Therefore, though all would otherwise be hopeless in this fallen world, there is great hope, thanks to the shoot that grew from the stump of Jesse, and the branches with their fruit. All need to hear of this hope in Jesus, and we pray that this Christmas the message will ring out loud and clear, and then others can place their hope and trust in him, ready for when he comes again as judge. For in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Amen. And now may the peace of God, that transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.